We're going to be talking about biblical anger again tonight to wrap that up. And my plan is the beginning of the year on Sunday nights is what I'd like to do is go through the book of Daniel. And the game plan for Sunday night when we start that is we're going to read an entire chapter in the book of Daniel each Sunday night for, I think, 12 nights. And we're going to draw out three or four points from the chapter to highlight. Daniel is something of a confusing book, but in all honesty, it's actually a real simple book as well. So I think that as we go through that, it will be edifying for us in our own personal faith and our walk with the Lord, because those guys in the book of Daniel faced some adverse circumstances in their lives, and that book should do well in helping to build up our faith, our trust in God who rules over all the kings of the earth. So that's the game plan. We'll wrap up with some other things over the next two Sunday nights. We'll go through December the 19th, and then we will take a little break there at the end of the year from some of our evening services because of all the activities that are going on in our lives. And also, we're going to take a break from small groups for a couple of Sundays there to give a little break for our small group teachers because they've been faithfully teaching throughout the year, and we want to just give them a little time to get refreshed. We're going to be focusing there those last couple of Sundays or the first Sunday into January, and we'll just have our morning service, and we'll spend an extended time of fellowship afterwards over in the gym hanging out with one another. We'll try to have some finger foods, maybe some cookies and water and coffee. Something like that. Nothing real elaborate, and just spend some extended time in fellowship there for a couple of Sundays. So that's kind of the game plan. But if you would open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians again, that's where we're going to start tonight. And really, we're going to be turning to several different places as we kind of look at this, seeking to apply this passage to our lives and answer some of these questions that I've posed for us, and then look at what the Bible says and how to answer them. Hopefully just give us a few things that will be reminders to some of us. It might be new information for others, but I hope that it is helpful to us. In Ephesians 4, again, the verses that we read this morning, 26 and 27, is what I'll just read tonight. And it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Now, somebody after this morning service, I'm not going to say who it was, said, "So I can wait until after it gets dark to get mad, and then I can hold on to it for at least 20 hours. Is that what you..." I didn't encourage that. I'm not going to say who that was. He's sitting on the front row, though. And then verse 27, "Nor give place to the devil," is what verse 27 says. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your church. And we pray, Lord, that you'd have your will and your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead and I need to run through all these PowerPoints to get to the application, the apply the word part. So we've got be angry. It's what we talked about this morning. There are many things in the world that ought to bring about, evoke anger within us, but we need to handle that in the correct way. And I suggested to you that the thing that ought to drive us, at least as Christians, to do is to be in God's Word, to know what the truth is, and to be vocal about what the truth of God is. I was in O'Reilly's the other day buying a part, and I was standing there at the counter, and I just felt like I needed to ask those guys if they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was a couple of them behind the counter, and I just said, "Do y'all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?" And one of them answered, the other one didn't. And I just said, "He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again on the third day." And then I walked out the door. You just never know. If the Lord leads you to say a word, a good word about Him, if He leads you to share the gospel with someone, be bold and open your mouth and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. You never know when the Spirit of God might lead you to do that. But be ready and be obedient. The second thing that we looked at is how can I satisfy an angry God? And really the answer to that is you can't. You can't satisfy Him. We cannot satisfy Him. But Christ satisfy the wrath of God when he hung on that cross and died a death that he did not deserve to die. The reason he died that death is because we deserved that death. But he died in our place. He is our substitute. He's hung there in our place. And the good news of the gospel is that all who trust in Christ, all who believe in the Son of God, can have eternal life through him. It's that simple. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The third point that we'll look at tonight is, how should I deal with an angry person? Now, that angry person might be you. How do you deal with yourself? And we have all been angry at times. You may be at a place right now where you have this deep-seated anger within you. And there are God's people who have that anger residing within them at times. It may be the anger that they feel is brought upon because of a parent. It may be because of a spouse that they feel that anger is brought upon. It may be because of their children. It may be because of an employer. It may be that they are angry at God. It seems like many times that people become angry because life is not working out according to their plan. Because the circumstances in life aren't what they thought they would have been at this time, therefore they become bitter against God, and it oftentimes begins to be directed toward other people in our lives. So, when we encounter someone like that, how should we deal with it? Let's kind of walk through these real quick. It's pretty simple what we're going to do tonight. The first one is this: answer softly. If you want to look in your Bibles at these, you can turn over to the book of Proverbs. Well, I'll try to keep us in Proverbs and not jump around too much. I'll try to keep us close to where we're going to be. But Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. These are all real simple. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to explain them, because like I said, they're simple. The book of Proverbs is in the wisdom literature in the Old Testament. There are five books of wisdom literature. You've got five books of the law, 12 books of history, and then you've got five wisdom books. And that starts with Job, Psalms, and then you got Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. So Proverbs fits in that category of poetry or wisdom literature. So here in Proverbs 15:1, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." All right? So if you answer with a harsh word, with a harsh word, then that is just going to cause anger to be stirred up. I want to give you an example of this. You don't have to turn there, but in the book of Acts, I think it's the 23rd chapter, Paul there was giving a defense before a council, and he happened to say something that brought about some disdain toward him. It says here, "Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, 'Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? And those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest?'" Now notice Paul's soft answer. "Then he said, 'I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" And then, so we see how Paul interacted with them, and he used something of a soft answer there in that place, rather than answering back harshly. So number one is, when you're dealing with a person who is angry, it's wise to answer back softly, because it will cause their wrath to subside, at least somewhat. Number two is, answer accordingly. Answer accordingly. Now, you see several references there in Proverbs chapter 18. Let's turn there. And these aren't really the ones that I want to focus on with this answer, but these verses are good to have in your back pocket and to be aware of. All right? So in 18 verse 2, it says, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." The next one is verse 4. It says, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook." There's different interpretations of that verse. It could be that the latter part is contrasted to the first part. That the man's mouth is deep waters speaks of a man who speaks much. Whereas those who speak wisely, it is a life-giving brook. It is a flow of wisdom. The other interpretation is that both of these are indicating how profound wise talk is and how it is to be cherished and how it is to be explored and lived from. The next one is verses 6 through 8. Here it says, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows." So what does a fool's lips do? It enters into what? Contention. Sometimes you're better off just to keep your mouth shut, right? "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Now think about that for a second. A snare is something that is set up to catch typically an animal in it. And what happens is that snare is set up, sometimes it's like a loop, and the idea is that the head of the animal goes through that loop, and then as it begins to go through, the snare tightens down on it because its body won't fit all the way through, and it's designed such that it will clamp down on that animal, and it is snared by it, and then it cannot continue to go because the other end of the snare is attached to a fixed place. So it is caught in that snare. And here he says in verse 7, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." That tongue that is a fire can cause great harm. Verse 8, "The words of a talebearer are tasty trifles." Remember this when the next time you're hearing a tasty piece of information from someone. It says, "They go down into the inmost body." The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. Then verse 13, I'm not sure why the Spirit of God decided to put all these verses in chapter 18, but he saw fit to do so. Verse 13, it says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." I'm learning that more and more with my kids. You know, just wait. Don't answer it yet. Wait until we get the whole story from everybody involved, and then you're going to be in a better position to really answer the matter. Next is verse 17. There it says, "The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him." Great wisdom there. Now let's turn over to chapter 26. Chapter 26 of Proverbs, verses 4 and 5. How do you answer someone or deal with someone who is an angry person? And the second point there is answer accordingly. Answer accordingly. So this is an interesting verse, two verses. Because he says here, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you what? Lest you be like him, lest you also be like him." So do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you become a fool yourself, lest you be like him. Someone has said that anger is momentary insanity. And sometimes we can see that. Look at verse 5 though. Next he says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." So on one hand, he's saying, don't answer a fool according to his folly because you don't want to be like him. You don't want to be foolish. But you do need to answer him according to his folly. In other words, answer wisely when you speak back to him. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to speak with the same tone and the same volume that they do, but you're going to answer in such a way that will reveal their own foolishness, we would hope. How do we do that? It goes back to perhaps answering with a soft answer. A soft answer turns away wrath. Someone has said in the past that the aggressor sets the rules for a conversation. Anybody ever heard of that before? The aggressor sets the rules. That's not necessarily the case, okay? Just because someone is being loud and harsh and angry toward you, remember, the wrath of God, the wrath of man does not, what does it say in James? Produce the righteousness of God. What is it, David? Come on, quote it for us. Produce the righteousness of God. All right, so the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Number three, avoid them. Avoid them. Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25. It tells us there, he who says to the wicked, you are righteous. Let's see here, am I in the right spot? 22, 24 through 25. All right, here we go. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Again, we see it there. Make no friendship with an angry man. Again, we see the snare for your soul. Kids, this is important for you as you develop friendships and get to know people and establish these relationships in your life. You want to evaluate that person that you are friends with. If they are an angry person, it's important to know passages like this, because angry people are not people, according to God's Word, that you want to be making friends with. Because what can happen is you will end up being like him. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 15? Bad company does what? Corrupts good character, or it says in New King James, good morals, same thing. All right. So bad company corrupts good morals. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And why does it matter, though? In that chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, it matters because of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ is coming back one day, and we're going to be raised from the dead, incorruptible. So we ought not to have company now that is going to cause us to live in such a way that is reflecting who we are in Jesus Christ. All right? Let's go to the next one. Speak the truth to them. And I think I have another. Okay. So speak the truth to them, and then the golden rule them, I believe, is going to be the last one there. Let's go back. All right, so speak the truth to them. We've already seen in Ephesians 4 where it's so important that we speak the truth to one another. In the church, we must do that, all right? We must speak the truth to one another in love. Because it's in that happening that we're going to grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Without the spoken truth and it given in love, we're not going to grow up into the people that God has called us to be. The last one there is to golden rule them. That's original with me, okay? The whole phrase there. But golden rule obviously isn't. But this is a principle that works across the board in so many different relationships. Does anybody know what the golden rule is? The golden rule, as we call it. Dennis? Yeah, that's basically it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you guys want to flip to Matthew 7, verse 12, if you're not familiar with this, then we need to get familiar with it. You might want to underline this one. You might want to jot it down in the back of your Bibles or something. But in Matthew 7, 12, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That's the golden rule. As you would have men do unto you, do you also to them. Now listen, this is important because we have so many relationships that there can be issues in those relationships. there can be anger issues in those relationships where we're trying to deal with someone who's angry, or maybe we are the angry person. If you can bring this verse to your mind and really consider, how would I want them to treat me in this situation? And then treat that person the way you would want to be treated. Then many times when you don't know what to do, the answer will become very clear. If you can evaluate it based upon Matthew 7, verse 12. Does that make sense? Has anybody ever done that before? Okay, one person in the whole church has. Now really, it's a big deal, guys. You need to tuck that away. As you would have men do to you, do you also to them. All right, let's go to our next point. How do I keep anger from becoming an opportunity for the devil when someone has sinned against me or offended me? We've seen the danger that anger brings about, that it can, if it's cherished, it can cause a mess, if it's not handled correctly, and that the devil wants an opportunity in our lives. He can get that foothold. That foothold can lead to a stronghold being built in our life. It can turn into a stronghold of bitterness. It can turn into a stronghold of unforgiveness, of hatred towards somebody else. But those strongholds can be built if they are not handled correctly. Here's a few principles to take along with you. Number one is this. When you're dealing with something in your life, biblically we need to ask, can love cover it? Can love cover it? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, and really if you want to turn to Proverbs 10:20, that'll be fine because the 1 Peter passage is a quote from there. Proverbs 10, verse 20. I think I have the wrong reference there. Okay, it's 10 verse 12. Proverbs, it says in Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. All right? Love covers all sins. And then the way that it's quoted in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, and this is information that Peter gives in light of the coming of Jesus. The end is at hand. And he says this, And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. So when you're dealing with things with other Christians, when you're dealing with issues with people, you have to ask yourself, can love cover this so that it is no longer an issue? Now you might say, how do I know if I've really forgiven them or not? Anybody ever asked that of yourself or thought about that? Here seems to be the common sense answer to that. I don't know that I have Bible to say this is it, but is there any unforgiveness? Is there any change in the relationship? If you sense that there is a division still in that relationship, if you sense that there is a coldness in that relationship, if there is not fellowship any longer, then it's likely that you have not covered that sin in love. And that you need to go further with it to try to deal with that issue, okay? So if there's a coldness, a division, a separation in that relationship, then it still needs to be dealt with. Let's go to the next one, and that is this. Address it directly. Now, if you want to turn over to Matthew 18, we'll take a look at three verses here. Matthew chapter 18. Now, you need to realize that you may need some of these verses. We may need some of these verses to be applied to our life tonight. Because you never know when something's going to happen in a relationship with somebody else where we're going to need to seek to apply the Scripture to our lives right then. That's why it's important to know the Bible, know some of these things, and recall them to mind, preach them to yourself so that you can apply them. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. How do we deal with someone who sinned against us so that it doesn't become a point of anger? This passage, that many of you might know this already, is a passage that talks about church discipline, how to deal with an offense. All right, so the principles of this apply to our relationships with one another. So let's kind of take a look at it, the first parts especially. Verse 15, y'all got it? Here's what it says. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. All right, so that's the baseline right there. When there's something that's going on between you and someone else, especially in the church, it is not, and it can't be covered in love and forgotten about and not affect the relationship, then you need to go to that brother and talk to him one-on-one. And most of the time when that happens, it's resolved right there. Now, the next thing that we see that Jesus gives for instructions here is in verse 16, 17. If that brother doesn't hear you, he says, but if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So we see there, if that doesn't work out, going one-on-one, then you take two or three with you to go and talk to him again, with the hopes that that relationship will be restored and there will not be any more issues there. That they will hear you, meaning that you have come to a point of reconciliation. The third thing, and most of the time this does not happen because the issues are handled in those first two levels, but in verse 17 it says, and if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church, but if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Now, in your relationships outside of the church, obviously that is not applicable. But the first two really are applicable on many different levels of our lives. And there are times in the church where issues need to be brought before the church where a brother is sinning and it needs and must be dealt with. And Jesus lays that out pretty well for us right there. All right, number three here. And this is the last one. Be forgiving. Be forgiving. As you think about handling anger when someone has offended you and how to keep that from becoming an opportunity for the devil, then you've got to be a forgiving person. And I'm not talking about criminal action, okay? I'm not talking about when crimes have been committed against someone else in the church, such as abuse or theft or something like that, or extortion. What I'm talking about here are the everyday offenses and issues that may come up in our lives and how we handle them with one another. So I want to bring up really three passages and we'll conclude. The first one's in Matthew chapter 6, if you would look at that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Here, after Jesus told his disciples how to pray, giving the Lord's Prayer in verses 9 through 13, at the end of that, he says in Matthew 6, verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We shouldn't expect something from other people that we shouldn't expect something from God that we're not willing to give to other people, such as forgiveness. Because our sin against God and our offense to God against God is certainly much greater than any offense that any of us are ever going to suffer. I mean, is that right? God is righteous and holy. He's perfect in every way. He's thrice holy. Holy, holy, holy. But yet we've sinned against Him and turned our backs on Him and forgotten Him so often. Jesus wants His disciples to be people who are ready to forgive, because we ourselves realize how much we need forgiveness. So that helps with anger. When we are angry because someone has offended us, we're people who are ready to forgive. I want to show you another passage. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Now, you may know the context of this, and the context doesn't necessarily fit perfectly with, some of the simpler issues that we're going to talk about, that we deal with. Because this was a major offense that was occurring in the book of in Corinth. Because in the first letter that Paul wrote, we have 1 Corinthians, he wrote to address an issue where a man was in an inappropriate relationship with his stepmother. And the church was okay with it. The church wasn't doing anything about it. And Paul wrote and said, I'm turning him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. So that happened, and the church was encouraged to put him out of the church, which they did apparently by a vote. They voted him out. But then later, he had repented and was ready to be restored to the church. And if you'll look at this passage with me, you'll see how Paul instructs them. In verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Now, next verse is key. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Okay, y'all see verse 11? One of the devices of Satan is to take broken relationships and a refusal to forgive a sinner, a sinning brother, and he will take that and use it against the unity of the church and the health of the church. So even though what was happening here in Corinth was a terrible thing, the man had repented and the church was told to forgive. And the reason they should forgive is because if they don't, the devil's going to take advantage of them. And Paul does not want that to happen. And it's the same thing with us. If we're not careful in our relationships, just like we saw in Ephesians 4, we can give a foothold to the devil. If we let anger continue and we cherish it, and it ends up making a mess in our lives because the devil takes it and uses it against us, against our relationship with the other person or persons, and then against the church. Now the last one's Ephesians 4:32, if you want to flip over there. This last point is be forgiving. Ephesians 4:32. Maybe you've got it memorized. It's a good one to memorize. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's a pretty good reason to forgive people, isn't it? Because God in Christ forgave us. We can remember that model that God has set before us and that is a reality for us if we're in Christ. We're forgiven of our sins, and our offense against God is great, but yet He's redeemed us through the blood of His Son. because of that, not only should we forgive others, but we can forgive others. If you're lost and outside of Christ, maybe you can't really forgive people and you have bitterness built up in you because you don't know the love of God through Christ. And it's through knowing Him that forgiveness is really becomes an option for us as believers. That's all I've got for tonight. I would encourage you to trust in Christ as your Savior if you have not. And I would encourage you to memorize some of these passages. Now, that's one of the things that we can do as we think about preparing to deal with angry people or deal with situations in life is memorize Scripture. I want to give you a quick little hint on how to really get a good running start at memorizing Scripture. This is something that I've realized to be true for myself, and I think it might be helpful to you. As we go into this next year, one of the things that you might set forth as a goal for your life is to memorize more parts of the Bible. A good way to start off is to think about passages that you're already really familiar with. Okay? Think about it. May be a verse or two, or maybe a whole section that you're like, I really know what's there. I can't quote it, but I know what's there. The challenge then would be to go to that passage and memorize it word for word, because you're already really, really familiar with it. So as you begin to work through it and seek to memorize it, it comes to you very easy. And then you can step away from it and you can kind of try to quote it to yourself after you've worked on it for a while. You can try to quote it and then go all the way through it. And then go back and review it and look at the places where you messed up. And what that does is that helps you get it worked out in your mind so that you're able to quote it pretty, very accurately. Does that make sense? If you want to get started memorizing Scripture, and I can only say what's worked for me, is find the places that you're familiar with, go to them, and seek to memorize them verse after verse, word for word. And you can do it. You'd be surprised how much you can really do. Now, if you're like, I'm not very familiar with the Bible at all, here's the goal. Just read the Bible. Get in that Bible and you read it and study it and get familiar with it. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word and for our time together tonight. As we go out this week, I pray, Lord, that you'd open up many doors for the gospel for us. I pray, Father, that we would be vessels that are fit for the Master's use, that we'll be ready to teach and to instruct, that we'll be able to be patient with all, even those who may be in opposition to the gospel or to the truth of your word. And I pray we would be ready, Lord, to give a defense for the hope that is within us. So, Lord, I ask you tonight that your Spirit would embolden us to speak the truth, to share the gospel with those who are lost, with those that we come into contact with. Lord, I pray that the passages that we've looked at about how to deal with anger, Lord, some of these great passages from Proverbs, I pray that we'll be able to recall those, bring at least the principle of them to mind, and then apply that in our lives, because there's so much joy and there's so much satisfaction to be found in obeying you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.